we're going to read this morning from the Gospel of Luke. This is the disciples' experience at the empty tomb, and you can follow along on the back of your bulletin. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found that the stone had been rolled away, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." And then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God of salvation, you have rolled the stone away and the tomb is empty. Nothing can defeat your love for humankind. The night is past, and with the dawn comes the new creation. Christ is risen to bring us new life. And we thank you for those who did not forsake and leave Jesus lonely during his time of trial, and for the heralds of good news by those present that first Easter morning. Strengthen us to faithful living, to following Jesus, to acknowledging the presence of the risen Lord in our lives. Send us to proclaim the good news to all we meet. Help us to receive and to tell the story of the new life found in and through Christ our Lord. Amen. So happy Easter. Now, we come here this morning to celebrate more than jelly beans and more than chocolate bunnies, as good as all that is, more than marshmallow peeps. How many love marshmallow peeps? You know, there's a website on the internet that actually has biblical stories and marshmallow peeps, so you can go Google that. But we come because we celebrate that nothing can keep God from doing his work in our world. We celebrate for Christ is risen. So one year when our boys were little, we were doing yard work in our backyard, and we had this huge tall pile of mulch left over in the fall. And somewhere around late November, we found this box turtle in our yard. And so we put the turtle into the pile of mulch so that it could hibernate. We were getting worried that it wouldn't find its way to hibernation. We had a long, cold winter and a lot of snow. But that next spring, right around Easter time, we watched two little turtles this big, two of them, crawl out of that pile. Never saw the mother again, but just these two little turtles that came out of that pile, and they were alive. And we were filled with wonder. We were filled with awe of the mystery that such unique life could come out of a cold winter and a pile of dirt. Inside the empty tomb, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning say to the women who have come to anoint the body of Jesus with spices, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. Remember, he told you all about it. He told you when he was in Galilee. He told you the Son of Man must be delivered and crucified and would rise again in 3 days." Well, the two men who were dressed in that dazzling white, we would technically today call them angels. because angels are messengers of God. And they tell the women exactly what Jesus had described, that he would be handed over and that he would rise again. The two angels remind the woman that the resurrection is a fulfillment of all that Jesus had done in his life, all that he had taught in his earthly ministry, coming to completion, accomplishing the victory through the empty tomb. In the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and John, we hear this same story. They vary a little bit in the details of what happened at the empty tomb on that first Easter morning. Kind of like when you have a wonderful experience and everyone describes it just a little bit differently. But the one consistent fact in all the Gospels is that the tomb was empty. For some of us today, some of us on this Easter morning, new life may be a real experience. We know there are some new grandchildren and new great-grandchildren in our world today. For some of us, new life may have come about through healing after a long illness. For some of us, our grief may have been transformed to hope in eternal life. For some of us, maybe a stronghold or an addiction has been overcome, or unemployment has ended with meaningful work. Maybe we have noticed blooms where once there were none, in our gardens and in our lives. And then for some of us, saying Christ is risen seems odd, because like the disciples, for us, it's still dark. It's still night, and perhaps we're hiding. Perhaps we're not quite ready to find God in our midst, not yet ready to accept the new life in the midst of our emptiness. Some of us may feel like Peter, too scared to acknowledge that God is doing a new thing, and so we go home to the familiar, even if it's uncomfortable. That first Easter morning, Peter was probably at home chastising himself for his stupidity, for his failure. Does that sound familiar? How could I have done it, Jesus? I was so sure of myself. I would never let you down. And yet you knew, you told me before the rooster crowed three times that I would deny you. Some of us are thinking to ourselves, where are you, Jesus? In the midst of this conflict and disappointment and difficulty. He is not here, the angels say. He is not in this place where death resides. How many times do we look for God in places where there is no life? N.T. Wright is a contemporary church leader and theologian, and he wrote that in our Western world today, the church looks almost apologetic. The church is afraid of being sneered at. It looks as if the chief priests in our culture and the Pharisees and today's media and even the political leaders, it looks as if they've all won. For many, the church does look dead, doesn't it? There's not too much to brag about here. But N.T. Wright goes on to say this. The Romans tried to stamp out the Christian faith during the 3rd century. But within a few years' time, more than half the empire had been converted. I think the reason the Roman Empire converted was because the apostles and the disciples who had heard the good news of Jesus Christ traveled to share that gospel all over the region. They didn't stay in Jerusalem. Across the Mediterranean they went, into countries where business and philosophy and entertainment were the predominant values, not religion. So church, if we're looking for an empty tomb today, we don't have to look far. If we are hoping to find life for the gospel, we too might need to be those who leave the church as we know it to go and find the risen Christ, who by the power of the Holy Spirit is always on the move. And so you ask, where is the church to go Where are people looking for God today? I think the angels described, why are you looking for God in places of death? Do you know that for people today who are addicted to a substance, almost all addictions come from an effort to find God, from an effort to find love where there really is none? Addictions work for people because they're numbing and they keep the reality of how lonely and isolated they really feel, or how we all might feel. I find it curious that in an age where technology has been so, it's so easy for communication today, and yet we seem to be more lonely, more addicted. Idolatry is also numbing. If you think we're not addicted to substances, think about this. How about money and power and prestige? I mean, all you have to do is watch the media and you know that the best seller is someone's fall from power. So come on, church, we have our work cut out for us. If we, the church, really believe in the risen Christ this Easter, don't you want to share how Jesus transforms and redeems the difficult things, the dead things, the fallen things, and brings them to places of life? Hasn't following the risen Christ and being faithful to the teachings of Jesus helped prevent you from making poor choices, kept you from unethical practices? When we make a decision to follow Christ, our lives get 1,000 times better just by nature of all the other decisions that follow. We need to share that. We need to share how Christ has changed our lives. We need to run, leave the empty tomb, and go and get the others and stand by them. Stand by those who are lost. Stand by those who are numbed by our culture. Stand by those who are giving their lives away in efforts to gain some worldly power. And we need to stand with them and lock our arms together and together begin resisting the addictive power structures in our world. Perhaps maybe even some of those structures in the church. We must stand and lock our arms together and resist these powers in order to follow Jesus. Jesus accomplished more than atonement on the cross. Jesus accomplished more than forgiveness of sin, more than reconciliation on that cross. The empty tomb secured and inaugurated a new covenant with God, established a new and lasting relationship between God and God's people. Forgiveness of sin takes care of our past, yes, but this new covenant takes care of our future. For Jesus said, I am the resurrection and I am the life, and those who believe in me, yet they die, yet they live, right? Here's the thing. Here's the good news. Today we celebrate the risen Christ. Today we celebrate victory over sin and death. And it doesn't matter if we feel victorious or not. It doesn't matter if we recognize Christ or not. It doesn't matter if we deny Jesus or accept him. It doesn't matter if new life is part of our experience or if we are still waiting for something good to happen in our lives. Because simply put, we do not accomplish the resurrection. God does that. And there is nothing we can do about it. God loves us and wants us to have a full and meaningful life. And the good news for the church and the good news for you and for me today is that any emptiness, any place of death in our lives, any life-sucking, energy-depleting circumstances, any illness or addiction we might be dealing with could be the very avenue that God will use to bring us to new life. Amen? When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the disciples. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they didn't believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. But Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb, bending over. He saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. It was women, and enough women, according to Deuteronomic law, to bear witness to the empty tomb. These women, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others, went to the disciples to proclaim the good news. The women who had not abandoned Jesus at the cross had not abandoned him in death either, for they were going to that tomb to anoint his body with spices. Women who had no voice gave the first voice to the resurrection. Isn't that just like God? That might give the church a clue about where to go and share the risen Christ. It says the disciples didn't believe them because it sounded like nonsense. Well, the faithful church sounds like nonsense today, too. Proclaiming life in the midst of children being gunned down in elementary schools, proclaiming life in the midst of power-hungry northern countries coming down and declaring war on their peace-loving southern countries, might sound foolish and sound like nonsense in the midst of gender differences and in the midst of failing economies. But the church proclaims the transformative powers of God's love even in the midst of hatred. So the disciples thought the women sounded crazy, except for Peter, whose glimmer of hope was ignited. It was Peter who, even though his faith had faltered, and he had denied Jesus, but it was Peter who remembered what it had been like to walk on water with Jesus. And it was Peter who remembered that he had seen Jesus speaking with Moses and Elijah on that mountaintop. And it was Peter who Jesus had invited into the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter went to the tomb that morning. Peter saw the strips of linen. And it says, Peter went away wondering to himself what had happened. This Easter morning, as we return to our homes, may we go away wondering. May we wonder about finding places of new life where we expect none. If it can happen in a pile of mulch, new life can happen anywhere. May we return home more like Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, ready to share the good news of God's amazing love. May we return home more like Peter, remembering all the times in our lives when love overcame sin, remembering those times when, well, perhaps none of us have walked on water, but maybe just for a moment we did something extraordinary because love was holding us up. May we return home more like Peter, whose faith in Christ became the foundation for the church. Yes, you and me, we are the foundation of the church today. May we return home alive in Christ, for Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah.